May the Lord help us to commence by singing hymn 297. Jehovah has said, 'tis left on record, the righteous are one with Jesus the Lord. At all times he loves them, 'twas for them he died, yet oft times he proves them, for grace must be tried. Hymn 297.
Thank you. reading of the Word of God is from the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 31. The book of Deuteronomy, chapter 31. Moses went and spake these words unto all Israel. He said unto them, I am 120 years old this day. I can no more go out and come in. Also the Lord hath said unto me, Thou shalt not go over this Jordan. The Lord thy God, he will go over before thee, and he will destroy these nations from before thee, and thou shalt possess them. And Joshua, he shall go over before thee, as the Lord hath said. The Lord shall do unto them as he did to Sihon and to Og, kings of the Amorites, and unto the land of them whom he destroyed. The Lord shall give them up before your face, that ye may do unto them according unto all the commandments which I have commanded you. Be strong and of a good courage. Fear not, nor be afraid of them. For the Lord thy God, he it is that doth go with thee. He will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. And Moses called unto Joshua, said unto him in the sight of all Israel, Be strong and of a good courage, for thou must go with this people unto the land which the Lord hath sworn unto their fathers to give them, and thou shalt cause them to inherit it. And the Lord, he it is that doth go before thee, he will be with thee, he will not fail thee, neither forsake thee. Fear not, neither be dismayed. And Moses wrote this law and delivered it unto the priests, the sons of Levi, which bear the ark of the covenant of the Lord, unto all the elders of Israel. Moses commanded them, saying, At the end of every 7 years, in the solemnity of the year of release, in the Feast of Tabernacles, when all Israel is come to appear before the Lord thy God, in the place which he shall choose, thou shalt read this law before all Israel in their hearing. Gather the people together, men and women and children, and thy stranger that is within thy gates, that they may hear, and that they may learn, and fear the Lord your God, and observe to do all the words of this law, and that their children which have not known anything may hear and learn to fear the Lord your God, as long as ye live in the land whither ye go over to Jordan to possess it. And the Lord said unto Moses, Behold, thy days approach, that thou must die. Call Joshua, and present yourselves in the tabernacle of the congregation, that I may give him a charge. Moses and Joshua went and presented themselves in the tabernacle of the congregation. And the Lord appeared in the tabernacle in a pillar of a cloud, and the pillar of the cloud stood over the door of the tabernacle. The Lord said unto Moses, Behold, thou shalt sleep with thy fathers, and this people will rise up and go a-whoring after the gods of the strangers of the land, whither they go to be among them, and will forsake me, and break my covenant which I have made with them. Then mine anger shall be kindled against them in that day, and I will forsake them. I will hide my face from them, and they shall be devoured. Many evils and troubles shall befall them, so that they will say in that day, are not these evils come upon us because our God is not among us? I will surely hide my face in that day for all the evils which they shall have wrought, in that they are turned unto other gods. Now therefore write ye this song for you, and teach it the children of Israel. Put it in their mouths, that this song may be a witness for me against the children of Israel. For when I shall have brought them into the land which I swear unto their fathers, that floweth with milk and honey, and they shall have eaten and filled themselves and waxen fat, then will they turn unto other gods and serve them and provoke me and break my covenant. It shall come to pass, when many evils and troubles are befallen them, that this song shall testify against them as a witness. For it shall not be forgotten out of the mouths of their seed. For I know their imagination which they go about, even now before I have brought them into the land which I swear. Moses therefore wrote this song the same day and taught it the children of Israel. And he gave Joshua the son of Nun a charge, saying, Be strong and of a good courage, for thou shalt bring the children of Israel into the land which I swear unto them, and I will be with thee. And it came to pass, when Moses had made an end of writing the words of this law in a book, until they were finished, that Moses commanded the Levites which bear the ark of the covenant of the Lord, saying, Take this book of the law and put it in the side of the ark of the covenant of the Lord your God, that he may be there for a witness against thee. For I know thy rebellion and thy stiff neck. Behold, while I am yet alive with you this day, ye have been rebellious against the Lord, and how much more after my death? Gather unto me all the elders of your tribes and your officers, that I may speak these words in their ears, and call heaven and earth to record against them. For I know that after my death ye will utterly corrupt yourselves, turn aside from the way which I have commanded you, and evil will befall you in the latter days, because ye will do evil in the sight of the Lord, to provoke him to anger through the work of your hands. Moses spake in the ears of all the congregation of Israel the words of this song until they were ended. May he bless the reading of his word unto us and help us in prayer. O Lord, grant to us that spirit of humility. We approach thee, who art an holy God. Lord, a collection of sinners meet here in thy house this night. We do pray for that fear of the Lord to be in exercise, that in approaching thee we might plead that precious and all-prevailing name of thy Son Jesus. Oh, Jesus is the way to God. Jesus is the way to bliss. Lord, we confess we need divine teaching. We pray that our prayers may be indicted, and that they may be perfumed with the merits of the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, grant us a spiritual mind, Lord, in thy house this night. Oh, separate us, Lord, from works of righteousness that we may have done. Well, we do pray, Lord, that our worship may be real, spiritual. Keep us, Lord, from being satisfied with duty and legal views. May we bow our head in worship. Oh, may the Lord Jesus Christ be present this night in his house, and that dear teacher, the Holy Ghost, Lord, be our remembrancer. So not said, open thy mouth wide, and I will fill it. What we desire, Lord, is light and understanding. And Lord, and that is really, Lord, what we must ever seek for. But application, Lord, is thine to give and thine to do. Oh, if thou wilt use the word of God this night, Lord, may we beg what thou hast promised, that it will not return to thee void. And Lord, in this thy house this evening, may it be proved that it has not returned to thee void. Lord, we do seek that grace. Lord, we meet among thy people. Thou knowest their hearts, thou knowest their exercises, thou knowest their secret prayers. Lord, that matter which goes between them and thyself. We do pray, therefore, that one thing we may be together with and in this night, that we may be each influenced by thy Spirit. We do hope, Lord, that as we've come together this night in thy house, that prayer and supplication has been made through this day, not only for thy presence, but for thy blessing. But Lord, as in all ways, where there is to be a blessing, Lord, there must be a preparation. Lord, it is so in natural things, and it's more so in spiritual things. Lord, hast thou exercised the living family of God? Lord, are there those secret cries and groans that have gone up to thee? Lord, meet thy people, and Lord, fulfill thy mercy towards them. We do thank thee for the word of God, and we would, Lord, enter into the spiritual nature of it. And we do pray, Lord, that therefore there's a purpose in this gathering together this night, that it may be indeed seen and testified in days to come, Lord, that it is one of those appointments that God has made. Lord, so grant grace to the hearers as well as to the speaker. Lord, bless to us the singing of the hymns. Lord, we trust the choice is thine. And so, Lord, may it be pleased to, indeed, even in the hymns, be able to see some going before. Lord, hear us too, because we've read, Lord, of the latter days of thy servant Moses. But it was the latter days too of the journeys through the wilderness. Lord, Jordan was before them. Canaan was on the other side, Jordan. Lord, is this not so towards thy people? Are we not approaching Jordan? Lord, some have crossed, and that we are approaching Jordan. And beyond Jordan is Canaan, that heavenly land. Lord, oh, that we might be indeed brought to see that the wilderness is nearly over, and that spot and place in Canaan thou wilt bring us to. Lord, may this be the exercise of the living family of God. Lord, and also be brought to submission, Lord, to leave time things. Lord, our very attractive time things, Lord, and union and communion with the people of God, Lord, on earth is a very gracious occupation. Oh, but Lord, what must it be to be where Christ is? We sing of the realms of the blessed, that country so bright and so fair, and oft are its glories confessed, but what must it be to be there? Lord, and Jordan is typified then in our reading and the exercise journeys of those Israelites were to be brought through Jordan. Surely amongst thy people, Lord, there's an often a deep fear of Jordan. But Lord, there was no fear because the way was made and they walked as it were on dry ground. The Ark of the Covenant being in the midst. Dear Lord, may we prove in that great day that we shall not be on our own. Lord, it is often said that it is a day we which we must meet on our own. But Lord, if Jesus Christ be present, that will be our consolation and our comfort. Now remember this sanctuary, Lord, and bless the preaching of the gospel in this place. But we do pray not only for the help given to those of thy servants that come here, but Lord, again we pray for the Holy Spirit's preparation for the gospel. Lord, oh, what good is the gospel, Lord, to a dead soul? What comfort can it bring? But Lord, if it has been, and may it be, Lord, in this place, that thou hast gone before the ministry of the word of God in preparation, and that the gospel preached and applied by thee shall be the comfort and consolation of the soul. Lord, hear our prayer for each. Lord, the young ones are here, and we would pray for them in this dark age and evil age. The present and the future of their pathway we commit to thee. May they commit their way unto the Lord. Trust also in him and prove he will bring it to pass. May they pray unto thee at a time when thou mayest be found. Lord, may they not be left to be hardened or more concerned with time things, but bring their every concern to thee, their providence, their pathway in life, their relationships in this world. May they bring it all to thee and lay them at thy feet. Give prayer for parents, give them wisdom to bring their children up in the fear of God. Lord, they also to walk as examples to them. Lord, children learn by example. May they learn by spiritual examples set before them. Lord, those in the midst of life, therefore we pray for, that all needed grace may be given them to be in the world and not of it, and to cast all their concerns into thy hands. Lord, and hear prayer for all as they come down to old age. Lord, that latter time of life. Lord, those times when the majority of life is finished. Hear our prayers for thy children, for thy people, for those who come to the means of grace in the latter days of their life. Oh, may they prove, Lord, that the foundation standeth sure. Having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his. Again, Lord, we remember too the little church, those that hold office. Lord, grant them grace, wisdom, and all humility to walk out that responsibility. Lord, like thy servants, those who bear office in the church, Lord, are accountable accountable to thee. So, Lord, may they be given much grace, Lord, to walk in thy sight and under thy grace and mercy too. Lord, be very mindful, Lord, of those in bereavement. Lord, thou knowest what is before them. Lord, may they be upheld. Lord, may they cast their distress, their burden, their loss, Lord, their sad times into thy hands. Graciously support them. Underneath are the everlasting arms. And Lord, one must come down to feel what's underneath. May they feel the comfort of Christ, because he who wept at Lazarus' tomb, oh, that he might be dear to them. Lord, hear us in these sad things, pathways which we must walk through. Prepare us for that day, we humbly ask thee. And there's many afflictions, Lord, in the denomination amongst thy servants. Particularly we pray that thou would heal and restore, and that thou would use afflictions for the profit of their ministry, for the good of their souls. And Lord, hear us too. Lord, it's not only thy servants in affliction, many, some are younger ones too. Lord, would you pray thou would balance the clouds. We don't choose affliction, we don't ask for it, Lord. But if it should be so, Lord, give us grace to indeed fall into thy hands and know no will but thine. But we do pray, Lord, that the scriptures may be fulfilled. For we know that all things work together for good to them that love God. Lord, great mercy when there's grace in the pathway. Great mercy, Lord, when self and sinful minds are quietened, Lord, and submission to the will of God is given. Lord, do hear our prayers in this matter. Lord, Holy Spirit of truth, come down, reveal the things of God, make to us salvation known and witness with the blood. Lord, this we long to see in the chapels and in the desires and exercises of those who attend. Lord, the evidence of the work of grace, a desire to seek for and may be granted, Lord, an interest in Christ Jesus. Lord, it was said of the apostle, I desire to know nothing among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. Lord, that grace may be found more and more in these days. Lord, Satan is a deceitful foe, often tempts, often tries. But Lord, we pray that thou wilt show Christ to poor sinners. Show him, Lord, and all may in their hearts and spirits be a desire to know him, whom to know aright is life eternal. Lord, what is to be compared with the comfort of Christ Jesus in the heart? That assurance, Lord, of the blessing of the soul, both for time and eternity. We live in very sad days, Lord, and one wonders, Lord, where the scene will end sometimes. We do pray, Lord, that thou would overrule, Lord, these solemn days. Lord, we think of the government that we've got and men in high places. Lord, no doubt full of their own wisdom. But Lord, there is no apparent success with their wisdom. Lord, oh, that thou would answer prayer and bring to nothing the counsels of the ungodly. Thy judgments are abroad, not only in the land, but Lord, throughout the countries in the world. Lord, awful days they are, but thou art still on the throne, Lord. And 'tis to thee this thy people shall look, and upon thee they shall wait. Lord, do undertake and help. Maintain the privileges that we have. Lord, it's a high privilege, an open Bible. High privilege. Able to gather round the word of truth. Lord, we do pray thou wilt maintain it to us and to the generation following. Now, undertake. Lord, that's all we can ask thee. Please appear, Lord. Deliver us from poverty, deliver us from fear, from unbelief, from Satan. Come now, Lord, and open our understanding. Lord, we read in the Gospel that Jesus opened their understanding that they might understand the Scriptures. Lord, that's what we want now, Lord. Forgive all our sins. Wash away all our iniquities. And we ask for Jesus' sake. Amen.
Hymn number 350. Ye pilgrims of Zion and chosen of God, whose spirits are filled with dismay, since ye have eternal redemption through blood, ye cannot but hold on your way. Hymn 350.
Thank you.
seeking help from God, I would ask your attention to the reading Deuteronomy chapter 31 and verse 7. Deuteronomy chapter 31 and verse 7. To Moses called unto Joshua and said unto him, in the sight of all Israel, be strong and of a good courage, for thou must go with this people unto the land which the Lord has sworn unto their fathers to give them, and thou shalt cause them to inherit it. And Moses called unto Joshua and said unto him, in the sight of all Israel, be strong and of a good courage, for thou must go with this people unto the land which the Lord has sworn unto their fathers to give them. Thou shalt cause them to inherit it. I do hope that it was, that the purpose is the purpose of a gracious God to give unto us something that may be profitable to our souls this night. The words really that came to upon my spirit in the night season was the sentence, for thou must go with this people. First of all, the occasion, the context. Moses was shortly to go home to glory, but there was a provision made for the continuation of the journey, both through Jordan and into Canaan, and he had decreed that Joshua should be raised up. And trying to form something upon my spirit to say to you about this, and it came to my thoughts like this, you know, how timely are the mercies of God. How timely. They were not left to be just a company of people without guidance or leading or direction. There's a word that accompanies this, and it's been with me for a long, long time, long before this text. In the 27th chapter of Numbers, we read this, that Moses spake unto the Lord, saying, let the Lord, the God of the spirits of all flesh, set a man over the congregation, which may go out before them, and which may go in before them, and which may lead them out, and which may bring them in, that the congregation of the Lord be not as sheep which have no shepherd. The answer the Lord gave was, take thee Joshua, the son of Nun. So how timely is the Lord's appearance for his church and people. Wonderful mercy when you can trace these times and these seasons. Now, we must try, if the Lord will help us, to look at these words as they respect the spiritual Israel. Because the word says, thou must go with this people unto the land which the Lord has sworn unto their fathers to give them. And there is a word in that seventh verse which brings us to consider the purposes of God. And that word is the word must. If you remember, when the apostle, or when Saul of Tarsus, was stopped on the road into Damascus, he was given instruction concerning his future path, and the word from Jesus Christ was the word from Saul was, "Lord, what wilt thou have me to do?" And the word from Jesus Christ was that he should go into the city and it shall be told thee what thou must do. Now, the provision therefore of timely helps and timely provisions for the people of God is found in these words. And it is a great mercy, and it's also a great mystery, how that the Lord brings these things to pass. But in bringing these things to pass, there is to be also, as it were, an order, a divine order. One was being taken to his eternal rest, and one was going to be raised up in his place. And so it is in the Church of Christ. So it is amongst the servants of God, I believe. And what a mercy when the Lord has reveals his will and purpose to the churches by rising up and setting forth those in the ministry of the Word, with the Word, and how wonderful to see the timing of it. Be strong and of a good courage, for they must go with this people unto the land which the Lord has sworn unto their fathers to give them. In the book of Ruth, in the first chapter of the book of Ruth, we have a remarkable evidence similar to this. Naomi was a widow, Ruth was a widow, and Orpah was a widow. But it came to pass that Naomi was to go back to Bethlehem. Now that raised up in the heart of Ruth a desire to go with her. We have that word, you know, "Entreat me not to leave thee or to return from following after thee. For whither thou goest, I will go, and where thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God, my God." It wasn't so with Orpah. There was much natural affection, of course. But Moab claimed her heart. The world claims the heart of those that are not Christ. But those who are Christ's are brought to walk in union and communion with those who fear God. Thou must go with this people. And what is it that will bring you and I to be found in company with this people? Just remember too, and it is not out of place to say, that this people have left Egypt, and this people have walked a wilderness journey of almost 40 years. But they had to leave Egypt for two purposes. One of them is the fulfillment of a promise, covenant promise to Abraham, Isaac and Jacob, and that is that they shall settle in Canaan, or as it is now known, Israel. But this, the people, now we must look at this word too in a spiritual context. The children of God will indeed be brought out of Egypt, that is, they shall be separated from the world as we know it, and shall be found in a wilderness journey which leads to glory. That is, as we might say, a general view of the dealings of God with his church. But the individual dealings with God is with his people. And if you and I are found in that way which leadeth unto life, we shall therefore be brought to go with his people. And we shall also possess that which the Lord hath sworn unto their fathers to give them. In the case of Joshua, he shall come into Canaan. In the case of the children of God, it is to possess those blessings which are in glory. But to understand this word aright, in a spiritual sense I mean, it is this, that they must be one with his people. If he says, as he says here, for thou must go with this people, it follows, does it not, if the people of God are to be your people, you are to be as the people of God. And that is the blessing of God's grace. If he has begun a work of grace in your soul, he has put you from all eternity amongst his people. The names of those who are the children of God, even in their unregenerate state, are recorded in the book of life, God's book of life. But the revealing of it is in time, and the revealing of it shows the sovereignty of a merciful God. Thou must go with this people. As the children of God, if he speaks to sinners, he will bring them into conformity to his will by calling them by his grace and teaching them the ways of God, first in conviction of sin and then in the ways of salvation. Now, those who are the children of God speak the language of Zion. Those who are following on in the way under grace will be taught the language of Zion. But in the mystery of his sovereignty, he has appointed a time and a place where those that are the subjects of God's grace are brought to the light. I don't mean any more than saying that they are revealed. And they are revealed by their walk, and by their talk, by their conversation, and by obedience. For thou must go with this people unto the land which the Lord has sworn of their fathers to give them. Now that's the command. We mentioned just now Saul of Tarsus, when the Lord Jesus said to Saul of Tarsus, that he should go into the city, and it shall be told him what he must do. Now, it didn't tell him, of course, everything about the pathway, no more than you and I know everything about the pathway of grace, or a pathway of life either. But it is to be seen, because this comes to my mind, the Lord Jesus also spoke to Ananias. And what he said to Ananias concerning Saul of Tarsus was this: go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me, to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. For I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. Dear friends, this word begins, be strong and of a good courage. For thou must go with this people unto the land which the Lord has sworn unto their fathers to give them, and thou shalt cause them to inherit it. Not only to, I was going to say, unite with those who fear the Lord, but also to suffer in the pathways that they shall suffer. What's the point of saying to believers, be strong and of a good courage, if the pathway is more than you can sufficiently indeed understand or know. Because the way of grace, that narrow way which leadeth unto life, well, you will need this strength and this courage. I was looking too at the following verse, but we must separate the two. It's not my text. My text is this, that I must go with this people. And who amongst us here can truly say that the people of God are an attractive people? And I mean that God has made them attractive to us. By their walk, by their conversation, you know what it is. If you have conversation with a gracious soul, and that gracious conversation that comes into the soul, does it not draw some spiritual affection out from you, and you feel as though one with them? You feel as though that they understand where you feel and what you know, and by the grace of God you understand what they know. It draws them together. It brings, I was going to put it, spiritual love between two souls. Now, dear friends, if you and I are found in the way which leadeth unto life, if you and I are found amongst and within that company of people who are going to cross Jordan into glory, it will be that you shall be and I shall be under the same divine teaching. For thou must go with this people. Now, to go with them is to be in union with them. And to walk as they walk, endure as they walk. If Joshua could have seen what was lying in front of him, he will understand what it is to say, be strong and of a good courage. Because it wasn't just entering into the Jordan, or rather where Jordan was held back so that they could walk into Canaan. The trials and the troubles that came upon Israel, and because of sin, and of course upon Joshua as well, he would have looked back on this word and seen the necessity of it. In his own book, the first chapter of the book of Joshua, the Lord spoke to him personally and says, as I was with Moses, so will I be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. And further down he said, have I not commanded thee, be strong of a good courage, be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. Now the children of Israel had walked 40 years, and they were approaching Jordan. And Joshua, who was Moses' servant or minister, as it says, he must be and was raised up so that he should take them into Canaan. For thou must go with this people. You look upon the children of God, and if you know, one of the times of blessing I believe in my own soul was when I had what I might call a spiritual view of the Church of Christ. And I'll take you back a few years now, back in the 70s when we were baptized. Now, if you live and dwell amongst the people, you know them. But what you don't know until the constraining influence of grace is found is a spiritual love to them. I do remember that particular night when we was brought before the church to give some account of the work of grace. And I looked at them, and I've known them personally for many, many years. But I looked at them and I loved them for Jesus' sake. I loved them for Jesus' sake. And I could see Christ in them. Oh, they were crooked sticks, shall we call them, in their old nature. Of course they were. But I didn't see that. I saw Christ in them. Dear friends, if you are in this text this night, it's not that they are familiar to you as friends or relations. It's when the Lord shows his presence in them and gives you the grace that they indeed reveal by their walk and conversation. For thou must go with this people. They're going one way, they're going to Canaan, they're going to heaven, the people of God. But what brings a sinner out of the Egypt of this world, out of the ruined state of sin and iniquity that has been known by them, into and amongst the people of God? Well, looking at that word again in Ruth, it says, thy people shall be my people. And those that are the Lord's people display the Lord's work, or should do. And that's what makes the children of God so attractive to a living soul. Surely there's this in the heart of some. Numbered with them shall I be, may I be, now and through eternity. But you don't know the way they walk, because it's not a path that you've walked heretofore. It's not something that you can learn by reading books. The pathways of the children of God are spiritual pathways, and they are taught experimentally. Not only their own state and condition by nature, and also their fears and their doubts, their unbelief. The children of God possess grace, and that's the part which is perfect. But it is lodged in a body and a nature which is nothing but sin. Their old nature, the children of God's old nature, has indeed run in the ways of Satan and in the world. That's their old nature. But the ways of God's grace run in the ways of grace and mercy and are followers of the meek and lowly Jesus. Now, one thing that you will know, if you are a child of grace, what is commonly called in the old days a warfare between one and the two. The old man and sin and the new man of grace. Now it may be that when the Lord has by his mercy so constrained the spirit of a believer to follow Christ and his people, follow Christ first and his people in the way which leads to glory. And in those sweet seasons of blessing, you know, things go well for a time. Things go well. Obedience brings the Lord's smile. But you're still in this world, and you still have an old nature, and that old nature isn't improved a scrap. You may be blessed with a love to Christ. You may be blessed with a love to his people and his ways. You're brought to conform, to obey his commands. You are in this place, you must go with this people. But, dear friends, you will find, ere you go along the way, that the Lord will teach you hard things. And there's a purpose for it. If you can recall, you that are the subjects of God's grace and mercy, what made you hate sin? It's the natural tendency of a fallen creature to love sin and the things of the world. It's a natural tendency. You can't complain if you look at those who show signs of the world in their walk and pathway or the conversation. It's a natural tendency of a fallen soul to love the things of the world and Satan's kingdom. But if you remember that these Jews, or the Israel of God in number, were brought to wish themselves out of Egypt by their taskmasters and by their hard life and by their distress and by their afflictions. If you know what it is to love the world And if your name is recorded in the book of life, the Lord will bring you from the world by bringing you into a pathway which will cause you troubles and trials in your heart, but it will also cause you to seek for the favours and the mercies of God in salvation. When you was a sinner and didn't know it, or didn't feel it, the things of time occupied your minds and thought. But when His grace enters the soul, quickens that soul into life, sin becomes abhorrent and painful and grieving. I do feel there is such a connection between the purposes of God in blessing as there is in the purposes of God of bringing them to the blessing. If you take the account of the publican who could not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Now, publicans were exploiters of their own people. They worked for the Romans, and they extracted taxes from their own people, in a wrong way. And so they were guilty of such misconduct. But you see, this man who went up to temple to pray, he had one thing to pray for, and that was mercy. But that's what the children of God pray for. It's not the fallen sons of Adam that by nature find such an abhorrence to sin. It's those to whom it is revealed to them and made known to them. And it isn't only just made known to them so that they are brought into distress over it, but it is the means which God will use to bless that soul. And I'm sure of this, you would contradict me if you felt it was right to say that sinners that are burdened with sin, that are brought to see or brought to feel because of their sin, the frown of God, not His smile. Dear friends, if you are going to be amongst the children of God in glory, you are to know redemption. You are to know something of the preciousness of Jesus Christ in as He offered Himself without spot or blemish to redeem His church, to atone for their sins, and to prepare them for glory by the resurrection from the dead. Now, those revelations are painful. And they're meant to be painful, dear friends. They're meant to be painful. If you are to go with this people, you are to learn the language of Zion. The language of Zion was found in that publican. God, be merciful to me, a sinner. He made known to that publican the state of his own natural heart, his fallen condition, but he made something else known. He made something else known. It wasn't hopeless. It was to him. He no doubt felt the hopelessness of his case by the prayer that he offered. Dear friend, have you ever looked at that word again? God, be merciful to me, a sinner. If you know sin, you know the holiness of God. Sometimes, and because I am where I am this night, one has to pray in public as well, of course, as in private. It's one thing to pray in your own homes or in other places, but in a public way, you approach a holy God. And I don't know whether you feel the solemnity of that sometimes. But you know, we have to borrow sometimes from the hymn writer. But had I not his blood to plead, each sight would sink me to despair. Now, child of grace, and you are a child of grace if you've got the workings of grace in your soul. And here you are, under a sense of your own sin and iniquity, and you groan and you sigh. And you mourn because of it. And I'm sure of this, you would if you'll excuse me being plain and simple, you would wish that you didn't sin. But you know, if God has a blessing to you, as he has to all the Church of Christ, he will show you the complaint before he shows you the remedy. Sin's within thee, all about thee, but the remedy's without thee. See it in the Saviour's blood. What a mercy when you are brought then to experience this truth concerning yourself, as every child of grace will indeed experience it. And it's awfully solemn to be a sinner in the eyes of a holy God. Wonderful mercy when you can see the provision of a Saviour, not only as the Saviour of sinners, but also as in his office as a mediator. For all that come to God by him, salvation he demands, points to their names upon his breast and spreads his wounded hands. I've said this before to you, I'm sure, but it is such an attractive word to me, because it seems to me to be so suitable to me. Now the word in question is about Christ. He is able to save them to the uttermost. To the uttermost. To come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. Dear friends, if you know the holiness of God, and you know the justice of God, and you know the righteousness of God, this is the language of the people of God. This is those who shall be found, a company that you shall find, going to the land which the Lord has sworn unto their fathers to give them. This is the language of Zion. This is the experience of the children of God. But you see, to know that condition experimentally is in the purposes of God to show you to the blessed remedy to that condition. Uttermost sinners, from the ends of the earth will I cry unto thee, when my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock which is higher than I. That's the language of these sin-condemned souls, you know. But the way, what brings them, if you follow the scriptures, I trust that we may walk together in this matter. If you follow the scriptures, why it is that they are the children of God. The national children of God, Israel, is the national children of God. How do they become to be that way? Were they any degree better than other nations? Had they a potential for high things and real things? They were appointed of God on one condition, and that was he loved them. And he says so in his book. Not because they were greater than any other nation, but they were the fewer of nations, really. But you see, they were the subjects of choice, because they were the subjects of his love. Now does that not follow that these blessed people, the children of God, Israel, of the spiritual Israel of God, are they not also beloved of God? Greater love, Jesus said, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. But how is it then, child of grace, that you and I have some hope or some desire to be found amongst those who are this people? For thou must go with this people unto the land which the Lord hath sworn unto their fathers to give them. How does it become so that such a hell-deserving sinner as you and I are brought to feel the desire to be amongst the children of God? Not because of safety or security in being amongst the children of God, that is indeed true. But does not the that great blessing of the love of Christ come in? You know, when you are brought to see salvation through him, by him, and personally known by you in the soul, what a love it brings, you know, and it only reflects The love of a soul that is under grace really reflects the love of Christ to that soul. Because if Christ didn't have loved his people, they would never love him in return. But it comes back to what I've said earlier on. When the Lord shows you by faith and according to his Spirit, those who are the children of God, there is a desire surely to walk with them. Thy people should be my people, and thy God my God. Be strong and of a good courage, for they must go with this people unto the land which the Lord hath sworn unto their fathers to give them, and thou shalt cause them to inherit it. This is the provision which God has for his church and people. Having established their names in the Lamb's Book of Life, having given them to Jesus Christ, who atoned for their sins by bearing their sins in his own body on the tree, and given them unto Christ to save, the dear Spirit of truth comes down and reveals these things. Oh, for real salvation, real spiritual life, dear friends, is known only as the Holy Spirit teaches sinners. It comes through him, he shall teach you all things. And blessed are those times when the Spirit of truth shows you yourself. You will say, well, it wasn't very blessed. But the purposes you want to look at, not the effects of the purposes, the purposes of God's grace is to redeem your soul, to show you your soul is redeemed with Jesus' blood. This is the lot of the children of God. But you know, there's a work that he begins which has a most solemn effect upon the spirit. It convinces of sin, but in the purposes of God, it brings you and I to seek mercy. Oh, every slip and fall of a child of God, you know, will be accompanied by a desire for mercy. When you and I are under conviction, there's an acknowledgement of a holy and just God, but it will bring the cry out of the heart for mercy. Be strong and of a good courage, for they must go with his people unto the land which the Lord has sworn unto their fathers to give them. Because their pathway will be your pathway. There's everything to bring hope and joy and peace in believing, if the Lord is pleased to bring you and I into this company of souls that are going to glory. Going to glory. Christ is the King, and he'll bring all his people into the kingdom of his grace and into his eternal presence at last. But he makes the way. He made the way, God made the way to bring Israel out of Egypt. God made the way to sustain them and maintain them through the wilderness journey. They never died of hunger. Every provision was made for them, the food for their bodies, preservation kept them. Sin was in them, of course. Judgments came upon them. But as Israel, as a people, got to Canaan. Now, if you and I are therefore amongst this people, he will feed you with spiritual food. Manna is a type, isn't it? The food that gave sustenance and strength to the Israel 40 years came from heaven. The food, spiritual food, for the children of God on earth, and all their way to glory, you know, is spiritual food only. Nothing of this time state will satisfy the longing, hungry soul. Who understands the work of grace? Who understands such a word as this? Blessed are they which hunger and thirst after righteousness. Does that describe the people of God Surely it does. You see, the people who are blessed in this world and are of the world are not blessed in the want of it, but blessed in the possession of it. Those who have more than sufficient will always want more. The world is so attractive. But the blessings of his mercy and grace to the children of God is this, that they are blessed because they want these things, these spiritual blessings and favours, these interests in Christ Jesus. Oh, you know, to know my Jesus crucified by far excels all things beside. But this is the language of Zion, this is the walk and pathways of these people whom the Lord will bring you to and in. Having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them to the end, so we read of Christ Jesus. And that love which he has to his people is an eternal love. Yes, he'll chasten them. He will cause them to fall under the chastening hand of a gracious God. But you know that the word of God tells us, doesn't it? As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. For thou must go with this people unto the land which the Lord has sworn unto their fathers to give them. Now, I did not desire, nor do I now wish to say anything more really upon this eighth verse that is correspondingly goes with this word, but rather than the promise of the blessing. If the Lord has called you by his grace, brought you into the way everlasting, united you by grace to the people and children of God, made you followers of the meek and lowly Jesus, in the way which he will lead, you will find his presence and his blessing. Be strong and of a good courage, for they must go with this people unto the land which the Lord has sworn unto their fathers to give them. And real religion has this blessing, doesn't it? It's not merited, it's not on works, it's not on good behaviour, it's not on promises to do something better next time. It's of his mercy and his grace. And all his blessings, spiritual blessings, come through love to that soul. And shall be not earned, as some people seem to feel, but rather gifts of God, and which shall be to their spiritual profit then. Now we best leave the word. Be strong and of a good courage, for they must go with this people unto the land which the Lord has sworn to their fathers to give them, and thou shalt cause them to inherit it. Amen.
God willing, Mr. Wheatley will preach next Lord's Day and Mr. Izzard on Tuesday evening. Let us close with hymn 320. God moves in a mysterious way, his wonders to perform. He plants his footsteps in the sea and rides upon the storm. Hymn 320.
Thank you.
Dear Lord, may thy pardoning love and forgiving mercy be over all that has been amiss. Lord, do own and bless thine own word. Be with us now, Lord, as we take our way homeward. Preserve us from evil and harm and danger. May the grace of the Lord Jesus and the love of God the Father, the fellowship, communion of the Holy Spirit abide with us now and ever. Amen.